The Tights and Fights podcast, for over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment.
This is a podcast. We didn't have a song. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I am Ms. Tuesday Right, Lindsay Kelk, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the old schoolian, Julian Burrell. Julian!
Can you tell that I had 3 minutes to come up with that? I bet you can't until I just said so.
I imagine when people heard the song, they said... Wait a second.
I said, oh, it's one of those weeks, huh, guys?
It's one of those weeks. It's one of those people are poorly and people are on vacation weeks. Yeah. Although I think that's everyone's week right now. Mm. Like, I feel like everyone is either on vacation or sick.
That's the summer. So, I mean, kids are going back to school soon and this will all be calmed down, guys. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Yeah. You'll live.
Truly. The kids, I have a school on my street, like a block away, and those kids went back to school yesterday. And boy, did I hear about it.
Yeah.
When they were on their way in, they were not pleased.
Like, I actually went and walked my dog at a park that is not far from where I went to middle school. And I heard the bell ring. And I was like, I had like a weird, like, wartime flashback. Like, oh my God. It was like, they didn't change it in the last 15 years. This is so weird.
It was full Pavlov's dog. You were both the dog walker and Pavlov's dog at the same time.
Yeah, I just almost immediately reached for a backpack that wasn't there, you know.
Yeah, just like, run. Well, do you know what? You're not the only person who's trying to run, Julian. You're not the only person who's trying to get away because they've had enough and not just because it's middle school bell time. We finally know why. We know why he did it. Why did Jimmy attack Jay? Because he didn't want his brother to turn into a dick like his cousin.
If you would have beat Oz at SummerSlam, Oz, you would have became Tribal Chief. And then what? What happens to the Oz? Huh? What happens to the Oz? Hey, not only that, brother, listen to me. Not only that. Not only would you have became the Tribal Chief, Oz, you would have been inherit some kind of power that makes you like him. Corrupted, Oz.
I was like, maybe you could have talked to him a little bit before you just kicked him in the face
right?
And just said, like, don't take the match, man. Like, I don't know.
It's just, is there not something, this family need to talk about their, they need to talk about the communication skills. That doesn't work, does it? But they need to figure this out. My husband is a twin and they text all the time, but they discuss nothing. Mm. So I feel for them. I do see how this could happen. like I know what Jimmy's having for his dinner. My Jimmy, not Jimmy Uso. I know what Jeff's brother is having for his dinner tomorrow night, but I don't know any of his feelings about anything. So maybe that's what's happened here.
I think as far as reasons go, it was fine. I've seen the full gamut of like takes about how people feel about it. It was never going to make sense if he wanted to get back with Roman. I think that would have been really stupid, and I'm glad they didn't do that. They really want, like, the Usos really want to wrestle each other at Mania.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as a vehicle for that goes, I think that they can build on this just fine. I kind of like Jay just being like, screw this, I'm out.
Oh, deuces,
like,
Usos. Deuces, is now my new favorite thing to say at any time.
That's so great. He's just like, he's been fighting people for over 2 years now.
Main event,
just
Jay Uso.
He's like, I'm going home.
He needs some time off. I would say take the rest of the year and be one of my surprise pops at the Rumble and let me throw my chicken wings in the air. Like, I want that. I've thought about it and I've put it into the universe. You know, it's a good week for manifesting. There's a new moon in Leo, people. I found that out on TikTok. Let's manifest this. I think that would be amazing. And then you've got the Rumble build to Mania.
Right. And Jay can just be like, when he comes back, he's like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you because I want you to love me again. Because that's how we send messages in
exactly.
wrestling. You have to knock people around and that's the only way that you can get
something
to go
through.
We
knock the love into you. I think it'd be a really fun story. I think you just have him show up at the Rumble, eliminate Jimmy, And then when they are on whatever SmackDown, I guess, but when they're on their show the following week, you know, Jimmy can be like, we didn't see you at the holidays. You missed Christmas. You missed Thanksgiving. Like, you, and then you come back and do this. And it's like, yes,
accompanied with a bunch of pictures of, like, you know, Jimmy looking very sad at, like, an empty chair that's next to his at the table.
Because,
you know,
I want him to take an empty chair with him everywhere he goes now to think about himself. Yeah. Because he should have to.
Like, so I made coffee this morning and I just made too much and you weren't there.
And you weren't there to drink it. He gets two mugs out automatically. It's too sad.
I drank it all, Jay. I drank it all because you weren't there.
And now he's caffeinated. He's over-caffeinated. You don't want to be over-caffeinated for a Royal Rumble. Like, you need your wits about you. You could fall out of the ring if you are jittery.
You might just go flying over the rope on your own.
Right, exactly. But also excessively caffeinated this week with the Judgment Day. They seem to be just a little bit jittery when they came out on Raw this week. There was a little bit of to and fro in, a little bit of like, what are you, who's going to say it? Who's going to say it? What are you trying to say? What's going on? But ultimately stood tall, ultimately came good with the help of one JD McDonagh.
McDonagh. What does the JD stand for?
It stands for just dicks. I think that's
just dicks. Oh, he fits right in with Finn. That's why him and Finn are friends.
Yeah, it's like if CM can be chick magnet, this can be just dicks.
Just dicks McDonagh.
Exactly.
I like the Judgment Day a lot. I've said this a few times. I think that the Judgment Day, if they continue to build them the correct way, could end up being like the bloodline of Raw. Not in terms of prominence, because I don't think they're going to give Finn and company quite the leash that they gave Roman. But I do think that in terms of like having a group that is essentially the centerpiece of the show, and they have all these things that they go off, and they also have a secret weapon that the Judgment Day does not, in that they have Rhea, and they can involve the women in their big storyline as well.
100%.
So I like the drama of, like, you know, we're slightly disgruntled, but we all know we're stronger together than we would be apart, so we're not going to break this up, but we got some things we got to figure out, but now we got this. We got JD, we got Just Dicks coming on over here and helping us out. Like, where does he fit into all this? I think it's interesting. I like it.
I like it.
I didn't think I would like Judgment Day as much as I do, but I like it.
Well, they made it hard for us. They made it really hard by sucking intensively for like quite a long period of time. But now they're
sometimes
badass.
Sometimes patience is rewarded.
Exactly. And it's like, Finn's going to keep on losing, but he's going to kick your ass. So that's fine. I'm super excited. I've been very concerned. You know, I don't want to lose my boy. I don't want to lose my OG JD. So I am pumped for where we are right now.
Hell, God damn it. I just realized what they're going to do. At one point, they're going to be like, you know what JD stands for? Judgment Day, McDonagh. They have to do it.
I'm really sad that we've been talking about this for about 7 minutes, that it is literally in front of my face written down, and it took us that long for one of us to work out that JD could mean Judgment Day, and that my first reaction was Just Dicks. Like,
it shows where Finn's priorities are when he picks his friends.
I don't know if that says more about me, if it says more about this podcast. I don't know. Maybe if you're listening to this in your car right now, you could, without children around, you can tell me who you think it says more about.
Somebody was screaming that into their phone right now, for sure.
Yeah,
so
it stands for Judgment Day. It stands for Justice, just judgment. It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, I'm pumped about this Rhea, Candice, Indy. I think my only fear is that she's going to take them both on at once and just murder them.
And just destroy them. It could happen. Right? But I would be okay with it as long as Candice and Indy could potentially spin off into a women's tag team.
Yes, I love that they're wearing little matching outfits. It does seem like that's where it's going. I also like the idea of getting DIY back together and bringing in, let's have some DIY and Candice versus Judgment Day. You know, I don't know. I'm always looking for my mixed match challenge. I'm always looking for Rescue Dog Rocks. So that's what I like here. I also was very much feeling, and I know we've talked about this before, and I know it's just an ongoing issue with WWE that people want intergender and we're never going to get it. But so many people that are like, but Rhea could fight the dudes, but Rhea could fight the dudes. Like, hang on a second. What if instead of saying Rhea could fight the dudes, what if Dominic fought the girlies? What if Rhea and Dominic fight and Candice and Indy? Because I want to see Candice ballsplex Dominic Mysterio.
Because one thing about Dominic is, however you may feel about him, I know he's improved greatly, and I know people will always, sometimes people can't let go of that first image of him. The guy does not seem to have much of an ego
when it comes
to anything. He does not mind just losing and losing in a big way. Because it would be really easy for him to just try to go against everybody booing him and be like, I worked really hard on this promo, guys, let me say it. But he just, the guy knows like that if I get my ass kicked by Candace, I'll look great, and I'll be all over YouTube afterwards.
So over. And, I mean, it speaks to the boy's upbringing. I will say, that boy was well-raised, because he, like you say, you could so easily get a chip on your shoulder about this at any given second. They literally are subbing you out on TV. Like, they're making you be a little submissive baby on television, and he's just smiling and grinning and giggling. So I am all for it. And you've got to think, like, he's not... He's like mid-20s? 24, 25?
Yes.
He's a sweet baby.
So. That sounds...
Like,
he's got lots of time to, like, grow out of this, so...
He's got so much time. But you just think about, like, what, you know, society tells us about men, in their mid to early 20s and how they behave and what their attitude is. The fact that he is just bucking all of it and being so super cool with what they're doing with him, it speaks, A, to him, I think, being awesome... And be to, top upbringing. Apart from, like, how he punched his mum on telly and stuff. Like, that's bad.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you even look back on, like, Ray made a career in WWE out of getting the piss beat out of him almost every single week by people that were much taller than him. So I think he probably saw his dad do that and be like, I'll do that.
He's bigger than people, so he can't do that. Yes, but he can have everyone laugh at him. I mean, arguably, right, it's better if you're a toxic masculinity champ, it's better to get the shit kicked out of you than have women laugh at you. But Dom's like, laugh away kiddies, I'm cashing dumb checks. And he seems really happy about it. Less happy about things is you when it comes to the next topic I want to talk about.
I feel so bad saying this.
Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura with the powerful whispering. Powerful whispering of Shinsuke Nakamura. Maybe it was ASMR.
For just sticks.
Yeah. no one has thought about this. Maybe it was ASMR. Maybe Rollins has synesthesia and he hates mouth sounds. What's going on with that?
Right up. I was like, listen, Seth, it stands for just dicks. You're not
going to
believe this.
Code. Use code BLUECHEW.
I feel really bad in that I think, like, I will always have a soft spot for Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know what it is. He's just one of those guys.
He's awesome. Because he's awesome, Julian.
I have all those great memories from him as NXT champion. I saw him live in Riverside. I just, like, it's just, I have a lot of love for him, despite, like, him perhaps not living up to what I originally thought he was going to. I'm not on board with this whole program right now.
It just screams filler, Julian. It screams filler, and that breaks my heart for my boy.
The thing about it is that, like, yes, I've wanted people... I've been the fan that, not necessarily in, like, a smarky way, just in terms of, like, cheering for a babyface way, I've had people that I wanted to beat Roman Reigns over the course of his run. I thought it would have been cool if Sammy beat him. I thought it would have been cool if Kevin beat him, like, you know, a number of months ago before, like, you know, it became clear that that wasn't going to happen. Cody, I was cheering for Cody at WrestleMania, and I would have loved for him to beat him. And, like, a reason I bring all that up is because when Roman inevitably won, I was okay with it because I was still like, you know what, Roman's doing great work. I can't wait to see what he does next, despite it not going the way, me not getting the big happy ending that I wanted. With Seth, when Finn lost that championship, I was like, we've got to keep watching this. Yeah. Like, we've got to keep seeing this. Like, they must have some sort of plan, and the plan is a program that I'm not terribly excited for.
Of course. Not every program is going to be Bloodline, and not every program can be Cody. Not every program is, like, just passionately defended. Sometimes it just has to be something for your champion to do, although there's an argument, I guess, that there isn't, right? Sometimes your champion could not be in a championship program. He could be doing something else. I hate when I feel like I'm going to have to watch a match with one of my faves that will, I'm sure, invariably be a fantastic match. And I don't doubt that they will both bring their A game to this. But going into it with zero stakes, let me be wrong. Like, let there be a 6-month plan in place for this championship that sees it go somewhere else meaningful.
One of the biggest knocks against Roman this year has been he doesn't defend the championship that much, and that doesn't feel like it's becoming of a champion. But to me, this is what an obligatory championship feud for Roman Reigns would feel like. It's like, hey, we just propped up AJ for a month. It's like, that's okay. And it's like, I'm like, okay, if you have to obey the quote-unquote rules of wrestling, I get it. But I'm also like, what am I supposed to be latching onto here beyond this should be a good match? And maybe they'll get there next week. Like, maybe we'll find out that whisper was secretly, like, him telling Seth the name of his next child or something, and he was, like, freaked out. I don't know. But, like, all I know is that I'm like, I want more from this World Heavyweight Championship than Seth is going to come out and beat people up every single week. And it's just, it's getting old.
I am intrigued by the whispering. I want to know what the whisper was, because I don't know what he could possibly have said that will pay something like that off.
Yeah, it feels like something's going to be really, like, stupid.
Well, right? You've got Nakamura fighting Seth just because he wants the belt, and that's absolutely fine. Nakamura wants the belt. He should want the championship. He should want to be champion. He's been there a whole minute. He should be able to just come out and be like, no, because I've had enough, because I'm sick of seeing this guy laughing and joking around and dressed like an idiot. And I've had enough, and my song's better. Let's have a song off. Let's have a song off, because we have the two, one of the most annoying but beloved, and one of the greatest and beloved. So let's have a dance off, maybe. Yeah. Let's not. Oh, my God. Take it back. Take it back. I did not speak that into existence. Yeah. But what this should be is just Nakamura saying, I want that title. You have it. Nothing personal. I'm going to kill you. Like, I want him to murder him to death. Full strong style, but instead we're getting secret whispers.
We were talking about this earlier to let people in behind the group chat. I want Shinsuke to feel a little bit more dangerous than he's felt since, like, NXT. They've played up the flamboyance. They've played up, like, the artist formerly known as, remember that, the rock star.
But yes, sure, fine. But we've got Seth out here being flamboyant now, so he's more flamboyant than you are. So if he's going to be more flamboyant than you are, although I have a whole... I've been really trying to work to the bottom of my Seth issues, because I can't figure it out. And it's like, on one hand, I'm like, I think it's great that we have this representation of this straight, you know, badass dude who's dressing in this very flamboyant way, and people are very accepting and encouraging of it, and they seem to love it. Like, on one hand, I think that's really healthy for, like, society. But on the other hand, it just feels so fake and put on, and like he's laughing at us.
I get what you mean.
Right? I almost feel like he's laughing at me with it. It doesn't feel flamboyant in a way that's authentic, if that could even be. Because Nakamura's character has a flamboyancy to it. Like, the way he moves, the way he carries himself, the way he uses his limbs, and the way he, you know, throws himself down. There is that, and I know he's talked about it, but that Freddie Mercury element to him that's, like, intrinsic. Right. It's not put on. It's not a lace pair of pants.
I think what I what you just said might have triggered what it is for me that makes, where I feel like Nakamura is just kind of being a version of himself, whereas I feel like Seth is hamming it up a little bit for the sake, because he thinks it's cool.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to who they are in the ring. Like, Shinsuke in the ring is a very, like, chaotic person. He, like, does the good vibrations thing. He dances around whenever he's in the ring, like, and is just doing silly things the whole time. Like, Asuka's kind of the same way. Does, and I don't mean to be, like, you know, reductive or anything, because I know they're both Japanese wrestlers, but it's like, when you see Seth in the ring, it's very self-serious. Like, he's not, like, having a good time. He's, like, he's got, like, his mean face on. Mm-hmm. He's, like, got a very, like, hard-hitting, serious style. Like, even when he's does top rope stuff, there's just something about it where it looks very calculated and very technically proficient versus, like, I'm just doing what feels right in the moment.
He's not laughing at himself ever, is he? And that's why it feels inauthentic to me with this flamboyant outfit character, because he's, like you say, he's just so po-faced about the business in general. I'm like, and then I'm supposed to buy you coming out in, like, a mesh club shirt? And I'm like, okay. Okay, babe. Whereas, like, I absolutely agree, Nakamura and definitely Oscar, they do have that same vibe where it's like they are having fun. They are having so much fun. They are so wholly themselves and authentic. But if you laugh too hard or you look away for a second, they're going to literally kick your head off.
Right. In the case of Oscar, especially.
Yeah, that's like you say, that danger that's been missing from Nakamura. I am perfectly happy to have the fun side of it, But I think, you know, and I did see a little bit of that this week. I like that after the whispering and or the leaving, and then he came back and kicked him in the face, you know, kicked him in the back of the head. And I was like, yes, yeah. More of this,
more
please.
Kicking the face,
more kicking please. In the head. Not like, really, you know how we feel about headshots, but
in the safe way that looks devastating, but he'll be fine afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which he can't promise if he does it to you. But I mean, like, it's fine. It's fine. It's going to be great. Do you know what? What is a good thing, though? This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Rey Mysterio is the new U.S. champion.
It is. You know, I love Rey. This will be a fun nostalgia run. I like that LWO was lifting him up on their shoulders versus, like, and they didn't do, like, any sort of weird, like, cut to Santos feeling like, that should have been me.
No, because that's why he cried, because it was never supposed to be him.
Yeah, I think that this could be a cool thing. LWO did need a big win.
Yeah.
And why not let it be the guy who is objectively, like, the best one out of all of them?
Yeah.
I think, honestly, it's more exciting to me that it could mean that LWO can be taken a little bit more seriously, more so than I am excited for Rey. And I think Rey will,
yeah.
It's like, I really, frankly, we need to get that freaking title off of Austin Theory. Like, yeah. it was past time.
Poor Austin.
It was just in Austin, treading water for the longest time.
Join
it was,
the way.
No.
Go and reform the way.
Something. Yes.
Come
like,
on.
That was probably the only time that I ever felt like, oh, this guy is like, he's got timing. He's got people to play off of. He's got like,
he was funny. He was good.
Yeah.
He and Johnny actually had good chemistry, which was surprising.
Yeah. And instead they're like, he's just like angry at not being taken seriously enough. And it's just like, that doesn't, no. This whole thing, they've been trying with him for a while. It's time to move him away from a title picture and get him to more
just
like, let's
who
find who you are, you know?
100%. And I do love, not to all rosebud leap back to Dom Dom, but not to bang on the Judgment Day drum too long, but I love that we've got a US champion and a North American champion in that family.
Yes.
That's going to be fun, isn't it? That's going to be fun at some point.
Put them over the mantle. Like, it's just, like, you know how they always have to do, like, you know, 5 years from now when they're like, ah, we were actually laughing about it the whole time. We could actually, we're out of character now. We were having a great time. I want to see the picture that they're keeping off of social media of them holding the titles up at the same time.
I like to think they both wore them to Sunday lunch. You know, like family dinner. They both came down wearing their titles. I think that would be very cute.
It'll be the Christmas card this year for sure.
Aww,
it has to be.
Those cute babies. Aww. Well, if you would like to stay part of the conversation with Tights and Fights, you can join us on all of our social media channels, including Blue Sky. Most of us are there too. I'm not actually, but I am on Threads. Come find me on Threads. There are too many.
Maniac.
There are too many. Links are in the show notes. When we come back, Rob Van Dam up next on Tights and Fights.
Find me on Google Circle.
I was on Google Circle, and I remember a lot of prominent people being like, this is the future, and now I'm like,
maniacs.
I'm Yucky Jessica.
I'm Chuck Crudsworth.
And this is Terrible,
a podcast where we talk about things we hate that are awful.
Today we're discussing Wonderful, a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network.
Hosts Rachel and Griffin McElroy, a real-life married couple.
Yuck.
Discuss a wide range of topics, music, video games, poetry, snacks.
But I hate all that stuff.
I know you do, Yucky Jessica.
Comes out every Wednesday, the worst day of the week, wherever you download your podcasts.
For our next topic, we're talking Fiona, the baby hippo from the Cincinnati Zoo.
I hate this little hippo.
They've got a podcast. Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Lindsay Kelk, and I'm joined today by
Julian Durrell.
Now it's time to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock!
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Get a life, kid.
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit!
WWE.com.
I love cake!
I hate nuts!
Look at this face!
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, pal.
What?
You know, I don't need Nia Jax back. I know there's all these rumors that Nia Jax might come back. She's given us her greatest gift. We don't need anything else.
She's peaked.
We don't
it's
need
fine. Anything.
She peaked at my hole.
Yeah.
I
peaked at my hole.
She peaked at my hole. And I will stand by that. I stand by it. I'll say it forever. It makes sense to me. A few years ago, we welcomed former world champion and wrestling legend Rob Van Dam to the show. Did you know that, Julian? I think you did.
I did.
Because you were there.
It was a delight.
Absolute charmer. Absolute charmer. Yeah. Just last week, he wrestled on AEW for the first time and is rumored, heavily rumored, to be involved with WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia this year. Rob Van Dam, RVD. Tell me, Julian, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What are your memories?
I mean, let's put the in-ring stuff. We're going to, like, you'll hear us talk about, like, how great he was in the ring in just a minute, but the one thing that kind of struck me is that, like, the man is, like surprisingly down to earth, but I don't mean that in, like, a way of, like, putting on of just, like, he was nice. I mean, the man, like, literally gave me his phone number and was just, like, texting me throughout the day, just trying to make sure that everything was going to go okay leading up to it, which is not normal. Like, no. A lot of the times people will, like, 5 minutes before the show be like, was I supposed to do X? And then I'm like, yes. And then they'll be like, can I be, like, 15 minutes late? And then I'll be like, yeah, sure, whatever. But no, Rob was, like, just so forthcoming and just could not have been nicer about, like, talking about his career and, like, you know, I think that really comes across in this conversation. It was one of my favorites, and I am very glad to hear it one more time.
Yeah, I've only had positive interactions with Mr. Van Dam. Not that I've had many, but I was at WrestleMania, I can't remember which one, and he was at WrestleCon, and I saw him talking to ladies at the bar. And I will say, as a lady who was at the bar, I wasn't one of the ladies he was talking to, but I heard every word of it, because I am nosy. What a charmer. An absolute charmer, but not in a skeezy way. Do you know how hard that is in the world of wrestling?
Yeah.
To say
using his powers for
good. What a nice man he was, having a lovely chat to these people at the bar. Anyway, so I was delighted when we got to talk to him, and I'm delighted to revisit that conversation right now. Here is our chat with RVD from 2019.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Pod Van Dad, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Rob Van Danielle Radford. Yes, we used that one already. We have to go again for today. It will all make sense. You saw the title. You know what's about to happen. And one of a Kelk, Lindsay Kelk.
That's me.
Our guest today, Rob Van Dam, has appeared in dozens of wrestling organizations and has been a champion for just about every one of them. He's probably best known for his lengthy time in ECW and WWE, where he was a multiple-time tag team and IC champion before capturing the WWE title in 2005. Here is a clip.
Cover! What the hell?
He's also one of the founding performers of the original Extreme Championship Wrestling. Rob Van Dam joins us over the line now. Rob, welcome to Tights and Fights.
Dude, great intro, man. I can't wait to hear from me. I sound pretty amazing.
You are. You're great. You should check out some of your stuff. It's very good.
Well, that's probably true.
Before we jump into wrestling, I want to talk a little bit about a documentary you have called Headstrong. Will you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I have been trying to spread the word on this, and for a different reason than originally. Headstrong is a documentary that everybody should see. It's on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. And I don't normally say everyone should see it, and probably everyone shouldn't see it, you know, but whatever. But the truth is that the movie came out way, way better than I originally planned. I do stand-up comedy sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not something I'm looking to, like, switch over and do. I really don't want to do anything full-time. I'm always working on doing less and less. I prefer a day off. But having said that, sometimes I get up on stage and I enjoy that. And so we brought the camera on a 7-day stand-up comedy tour that went, I don't know, across several states. We were in Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York. But I showed up on day one with symptoms of a concussion because I had a match like 3 nights before. Wow. And I've gotten like so many concussions. You know, I've been wrestling 30 years, but usually the symptoms go away in a few seconds. Rarely do I still feel them in a couple hours. I've never had anything last like this. And what my symptom was double vision. So 3 days later, I'm seeing double every time I open both eyes. I can see fine out of either eye. but double with both eyes. And it's day one of the comedy tour, and I'm like, well, this is going to go away, so I'm not even going to bring it up. You know, I'll wake up fine tomorrow. We did the entire tour, and I still had the double vision. And you know, I'm secretly, you know, talking to the camera, like, as I'm getting pictures with fans, you know, hey, mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, great to meet you. And then I'd turn to the camera and I'd say, I see two of him. He's got no idea. I didn't think I would ever use it. And I thought that it'd be something that I would just put behind me. But the symptoms lasted so long, the movie became about something completely different, because now I got to go and get my brain checked out, MRIs and scans, and I'm in visual therapy. And it's like all of this I'm doing with the knowledge and concern that they could tell me, like, you know, it looks like I'm, you know, getting CTE, which is a horrible degenerative disease. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, you know, if some listeners don't know, the term is used lightly. Everyone thinks like, oh yeah, oh, I know I got CTE, because there's post-concussion syndrome, which a lot of my peers have.
I have that too.
And then yeah, and that's so different than CTE, which is a degenerative, which means you're going down. Your brain's going to die. You're going to die. So I'm learning all of what's going on with live with the camera. So the movie ends up being a really roller coaster, I've been told, of emotions. And it was actually out for a couple months before I just recently, after having a couple of my friends hang themselves recently, I just kind of took on this. I feel like first off, I don't want to go that way. And second yeah. off, I would love to be able to help the situation. And so now all of a sudden I got this purpose, like it's important to me to keep the conversation going, the awareness, because when you mention concussion, it's shut down in the wrestling business. Like that's a bad word, at least in certain areas, and they don't want to talk about it. And the truth is, I'm learning just by sharing my truth. I've helped so many people. Like, people come up to me all the time. Dude, I watched Headstrong, man. It was so inspiring. And if you read the reviews, we've got not one bad review, but everyone, I didn't expect this. But people are telling me it's important. It changed their lives. And after it's out for a couple of months, now I'm starting to feel like, you know what? It really is important, because now I want to do my part to address the concussion situation, which isn't just sharing my stories and awareness. I'm also working on developing a line of CBDs that can protect the brain. And I'll be able to talk a lot more about that in the near future. But that's one of my very important projects that's going on. But I'm always willing to talk about my experiences. I mean, nonfiction is easy. It's already happened. And what do you want to know?
Well, let me ask you something. You've had a 30-plus year wrestling career, and I want to stay on the topic of concussions. We want to talk about your broader career as well, but compared, it feels like around the time you would have gotten into the industry, at that point you get your bell rung, you show up, and then you keep working, and that seems to have, I don't know that it's changed, but it seems like the awareness, like you've mentioned, around concussions has changed, and yet recently we had an AEW event where Cody Rhodes took an unprotected shot to the head. What needs to be done within the wrestling industry? And does this awareness that people talk about, is it really changing things? Like, what have you seen over your time?
I believe, yes, that awareness is super important. I think that that is the one thing that we can all do is be aware, because the more aware we are, the more people are talking about it, the more studying we're going to be able to do, the more we're going to be able to learn about it. This may seem weird, but let's compare it to marijuana prohibition. Years ago, they said it's poisonous, it'll kill you, it's toxic, it'll make you violent, evil. That was back in 37. So for all these years, they just didn't talk about it. Now, recently, as they're starting to legalize it, and it's getting, because it was illegal to even test marijuana. You couldn't grow it to test it for years. I mean, in 1990, there was a lawsuit against the Institution of Medicine that's been suing because they don't let anyone study marijuana. Now, in the last few years, we're learning all kinds of things that marijuana can do for people. And I knew most of it anyway, but now we're learning to separate the different components in the plant, the CBDs, the CBNs, the CBGs from the THC. And it's like, it's all about awareness, and then you got to keep the conversation going. When we can do that with brain injuries, and we can talk about it, we can learn more. Pretty soon, we can have cures, you know, and they are showing certain lines of the cannabis dials are actually effective in regenerating brain tissue that's already died off. And I mean, that's going to help with Alzheimer's. It's going to help with, you know, military people who've had the concussion damage and of course, all the professional athletes. So, yes, awareness and talking about it is key right now because we're not all scientists, but we need to keep the energy going and move forward. And you do that in numbers. And it is different now. And as you mentioned, yeah, throughout my career, I get a concussion. I just show up the next day and I never told anybody. And that's the way that I did my career.
Mm-hmm.
I became aware of something after making this movie because I hear myself in the movie being very optimistic, saying, hey, all right, well, let's say I get my brain checked out and it is messed up. You know, well, I'll use this experience to share with people, you know, so everyone can learn from it. And I'm probably not going to wrestle that much longer anyway. And that's my attitude in the movie. And I watched another movie that Chris Nowinski, my friend who actually studies the brains up in Boston, he made a movie called Head Games. And I see a football player in there and he looks normal. But when the doctor's testing him, this guy's got CTE. He can't tell you what number follows another number, what month follows another month. It's scary watching it. I watched that movie and I'm like, wow, my awareness just went up. I haven't been taking this seriously enough. Also, let me just throw this out, too. I know I'm talking a lot.
No, we love it. But, shoot.
One thing that I really learned that I think was my takeaway from watching the movie, I mean, after editing it frame by frame and everything, I still didn't realize until I watched the movie that I did everything wrong after I got a concussion. And I think that's why my symptoms hung around for so long. You're supposed to rest, put yourself in a dark, unstimulating place. And I did the opposite. For some reason, I felt like my brain needed a kick, like a kickstart. I felt like, okay, something's like sputtering. I need to push it through or something. And I was trying to read and watch TV. And I even took an Adderall because I had one and thought that was going to stimulate my brain and help. Ooh. And of course, the comedy tour. Dr. Chris Nowinski said, don't do the comedy tour. That's the worst thing you can do. And I don't think you're going to be able to stand up there and remember jokes and be in front of people. And there I was every night, because I give everything for the art. That's what we all do, artists. And, you know, it's like I'm up there and the bright light is like burning a hole in my brain through my eyes.
Oof.
And it really was. And I was just up there and I was thinking like, I'm sure I'll be fine tomorrow.
Interestingly and weirdly enough, I have been suffering from post-concussion syndrome. I got a concussion a few years back and I've been using CBD to help with some of that. I also I'm also a stand-up comic. I also immediately went back on stage.
Yeah.
Like as soon as possible. I would love to hear more about some of what you're doing with CBD because that's something that I've been championing since I got my concussion and still dealing with the symptoms of that.
Right now, I'm putting all of the players in place. And, you know, I've got like a great team of people from someone that already owns a current and successful CBD company that I will be doing this with. And, you know, there's investors involved. And so I'm having meetings like on a weekly basis right now, because I've been traveling so much, but putting this together. And the idea will be RVDs, CBDs. I will. Yeah. And I mean, I've talked to the scientists. You know, I told them that Time magazine had an article a few weeks ago. The NFL was looking into this, making a pill from CBD properties that would be like a pregame swallow, go out there and they'd play football. And then it would theoretically protect their brain, you know, from damage, from the impact. So I believe that I can do this faster than they can. I think they got a lot more red tape they got to go through and stuff. And I'm looking, as well as my team, looking at everything, you know, that's showing positive results. And of course, I'll try it myself and I'll have my peers try it as well, because I don't want to put my name on anything that isn't legit and genuine. And that's something that I keep hearing synchronistically from the universe. People keep coming up to me with CBD conversations saying they just wish they knew a product that was legit, because there's so much out there and they don't know like what works, what doesn't. And not even all CBDs are made from hemp. Some are made from different kinds of vegetation. And it's like, I would love to be in a position, you know, to be a go-to guy. And that's my goal. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. My main drive for this is, hey, I don't want to, you know, go through a deep bout of post-concussion depression and hang myself. And
no,
possibly
we'd rather
possibly
you didn't
murder
do that.
Some, no, exactly.
Yeah, we would much prefer.
And it's like, I mean, how can someone argue against that? And, you know, it's like, hey, I don't think that that's possible. There's no part of me that wants to do that. But honestly, I could name so many friends that have done that. There's been like over 50 wrestlers that died like within a short time span. Those are my friends, you know,
yeah.
Not all
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
I worked with a lot of them. Some of them were really close to me. And it has been going on since then, too. So let's shine a light on it and learn what we can do to prevent it.
Yeah. With all this in mind and knowing how much you know, you're so, so aware of all of it now. And with the style of wrestling that you tend to use, I have to ask you, like, how long do you think you'll stay in the ring? Is this something that's making you reconsider that choice now?
Honestly, I guess, yeah. It's part of the entourage of different body parts that are telling me, you know, we've had about enough. So probably not that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I will probably retire next year, but I just, you know, I go with the flow and I listen to the universe. And I've said for years, several years, that I was, that my inspiration, my passion, and my body were ready to retire. And plus,
yeah.
It's a very consuming job. You know, I like to not travel and be able to do other things too. But, you know, the more that I talk about retiring, my value goes up.
Yeah.
And so I'm in this position where it'd be like silly to walk away right now, because I'm working so much less for the amount of money that I worked so hard and so long for when people considered me in my prime. You know, like, it's so much, business is so much better now. So the universe will tell me, but I'm guessing it'd be pretty soon. Every time I have to buy a new wrestling outfit or a new pair of boots, I'm like, I'll be damned. I thought for sure I bought my last pair of boots.
How long does a pair of boots last? You're pretty active with your feet in the ring. How long does a pair of boots last for you?
Yeah, well, it depends on how good of boots you get. You know, like the traditional wrestling boot, they're anywhere from like $300 to $500. And those things will last forever. Every once in a while, if something does start coming undone on it, you take it and you get it fixed, because they're worth it. But nowadays, a lot of guys wear things, you know, like amateur wrestling shoes. And it's like, I did that for a long time. I wore Atomics when I was in WWE for a long time. I wore the Atomics because they have a really thin sole. And I didn't worry about trying to be taller. A lot of the guys want to put height, you know, on their sides. And I was like, I'd rather have foot control. But there wasn't much ankle support with that. But those, about once a month, I would have to replace those, the Atomics.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. How much did those cost?
Way cheaper than the other boots. I mean, they might have been somewhere around $100. I don't remember. But they're just, they're not made for that. And I drop down in the splits and do all these things that like tend to pull the sole in a different direction. But now I have the boots that'll last forever, but sometimes I'll put the cheaper ones on because they're more comfortable and I don't mind. I can afford it more now.
I have another wrestling question for you. What do you consider to be your best match and your favorite match? Are they the same, or are they, you know, they could be different. Obviously there may be one you just appreciate from a technical standpoint and one was more fun. Where do you fall on
yeah.
that?
Let's see. Best match and favorite match. Best match would be beating John Cena, or maybe that's my favorite. I don't know. Let me put it this way. My crowning achievement, definitely the most important match of my career, was when I beat John Cena and became the ECW and WWE champion. You know, obviously because that put me on that list of world champions, but also because I was fighting for everything that I had passion for in the business, meaning the extreme style of ECW, and every fan in the building was there fighting with that same spirit and same passion. And it was really cool because there was a lot of personal emotion involved in that. You know, Vince was saying people don't remember ECW. And I was saying, man, just give us like one night, you know, to, because it was so different that it would be, you know, like playing a different character almost. Knowing, you know, you got rules, you got 3 minutes to do everything versus knowing you got, you know, 25 minutes and you know, you can do whatever. So it's just so different. And anyway, because it was successful, the pay-per-view, and because we brought ECW back as a third brand, and because that was all, you know, my brainchild, I'm most proud of that. And that's the most important standout match of my career. But if somebody was just going to watch one match of RVD that's never seen me wrestle and I wanted to impress them, I would put in RVD versus Jerry Lynn first, because physical competition in those matches set new standards that the guys are still using today. They use the term RVD Jerry Lynn spots when they're talking about stuff that they want to do. I loved working with Sabu and Jeff Hardy, and there's not too many bad matches under my belt, really.
I absolutely agree.
I'm just really curious, given that your career has been so long and you've seen so much, what are the main changes that you've seen, especially like on the better side of things? I think we as wrestling fans sometimes have a tendency to dwell on the negative or to be quite dismissive occasionally. But I love to hear the positive side of things. So what are the changes that you've seen come through the industry that you think are really good?
Business, when I got into it, first off, it was about something different. I started schooling in 89, and people looked at wrestling as a legitimate fight back then. And the number one state of mind that you're in is to protect the business first. That means it's okay, you know, if you bust somebody open, it's good for the business. Showing you two working together, you know, blowing kayfabe, not protecting the business. And so it was so different. Now the curtain has been jerked open and people look at it like entertainment. And so that makes them think that they know everything about it. Like the fans think, oh, I could do a better job at writing storylines or this or that. And the wrestlers themselves, because they don't have the same old school mindset that was put into me, they're instead of it being about protecting the business, now it's about, here's what we could do if we work together. And the fans think that they understand it, and they don't all the way, because there's always competition. But now there's so many moves that wrestlers are doing that you just couldn't have done 20 years ago, because it takes both guys. Sometimes the guy that's taking the move is the guy doing the move, jumping up and flipping and landing on him. I don't know. I'm like, what? Like, I don't even know who just got who. And so that's what I've seen change. It's gone from protecting the business to, here's what could be possible if we didn't protect the business. In the old school mindset that I'm in, that's not necessarily a positive thing, but I'm not like fighting it, trying to keep it on its foundation. I don't care. I got my foot in the exit door anyway. And I, you know, and the things people are doing are amazing. But the positive that comes out of that is that back when I started, it was really hard to get into the business. You had to get beat up first just to prove, you know, that you were even durable enough. And then you had to prove that you were worthy, that you had ability, that you could wrestle. And then if someone was going to invest in putting their name into you, they wanted to own you for a while. Now it's not like that. You can pay like $25 and you can go work out somewhere with no commitment in a ring. You could be a journalist doing a story and go pay and talk about the wrestler's work. It's so different now. But because of that, there's so much more wrestling now. When WWE monopolized the business, there wasn't a lot of choices for people to watch. I mean, there was TNA, which was a really distant second place, and I think that was about it on TV for a minute. And now, because it's so open, every town seems to have their own local wrestling group, and then the fans come out and they support that, and then it makes them feel like they're part of it. And I noticed that happening, I don't know, at least 5 years ago. I've been watching the trend. And I was in Preston City in England, and I could not believe the crowd, how supportive they were. Like, they had chants and nicknames for every single one of the wrestlers. They had the best time. It was like a soccer crowd mixed with an ECW crowd. It was amazing. And I've noticed since then, every little town. So there's so many wrestling groups now that it's easier to get into the wrestling business. And so a lot of the wrestlers now didn't go through what I went through, but because of that, that's caused wrestling to have another surge. So that's the positive side, is that wrestling is cool again. People are enjoying watching it. AEW's got everybody talking. Pretty soon they're going to be on TV, and that'll change the whole landscape of what we have right now. So that's the positive, is that it's on the grow.
Well, you mentioned ECW, and I want to ask you about that. But first, since you spent a good amount of time in Philly, which is my hometown, did you have a favorite cheesesteak place, or do you not eat cheesesteaks?
Tony Luke's.
All right. Boy, you and my dad need to get together.
Is that a respectable one, Hal?
You know, it's good. It's good. I like it.
Usually the debate is between Pat's and Geno's, right?
That's like where the tourists go. But your answer lets me know how much time you spent in Philly, which I love. ECW feels like, I don't know that I would call it an outlier, but it was something very special in the following that it garnered and sort of the exposure that it got. And I'm wondering if you think it's possible for another promotion to replicate that. I know AEW feels like they're, I don't know if they're trying or if you would consider them to be sort of a new version of what ECW was, just in terms of gathering a bunch of phenomenal talent and trying to put on the best wrestling possible. Do you think it's possible to replicate that in this day and age when WWE has, as you pointed out, monopolized everything?
I do to an extent, and I think that's a fair comparison with the AEW in the respect that they're saying, hey, we're being ourselves. We're not playing by the rules. We're doing what we believe is right to entertain the crowd. And so in that respect, that is very much like ECW. It can't be done in the exact same way ever based on the factors that we used, meaning, you know, extra violent and extra adult-like. I mean, that stuff was crazy. There's no way nowadays that we could dive out over the guardrail into the crowd without having plants. ECW is the only place that ever happened. Even with Impact, if I ever wanted to go over the guardrail, they would set up the students, wrestling students, sit over there so that nobody, fans would get hurt and stuff. And it was so uncontrolled in ECW, and that was part of it. I saw fans get set on fire. I saw... It was so crazy. So no, it won't be done in that way. But yeah, sure. Just by taking that spirit of saying, "Hey, we're counterculture wrestling and screw tradition," boom, check us out. Yeah, they seem to be doing it.
What is the craziest thing you ever saw at ECW? And it could either be obviously somebody in the crowd getting set on fire. It could be in a top three or a top 20 when it comes to ECW. What's the craziest thing you can think of, just sort of off the top of your head?
Well, let's see. The one thing that comes to mind is Spike Dudley weighs about 160 pounds roughly. Mm-hmm. And Bam Bam Bigelow would pick him up over his head in the ring, and he would run towards the ropes and just launch Spike over the guardrail into the crowd.
Wow.
And the crowd would catch him, and they would body surf him around the crowd. And it was all legitimately just fans that bought a ticket that knew that that's part of being in an ECW crowd. And I always think, like, I can't imagine being Spike upside down, not even being able to see how you're going to land. That comes to mind as being pretty crazy. And plus, everyone has seen the footage where all the fans bury the ring with their chairs.
Yeah.
I was involved in that one time. Me and Sabu were about to put, I think it was Bam Bam Bigelow through a table. It might have been Terry Funk, though. But anyway, Sabu's going up the top rope, and wham, he got hit in the back of the head with a chair. And he turned around to see where it came from. Wham! He caught one in the face. and then pretty soon, you know, we're just ducking for cover, and all the chairs went over the rope, and we're burying the ring. And
That's a great moment.
I don't know how we got out of there.
That's a great moment.
It can't be like that again in 2019.
You're still connected to the wrestling scene and what's going on. Who out there, like these young up-and-comers, what performers are really exciting you right now?
Well, I'm in Impact Wrestling, mm-hmm. and a few nights ago we did a pay-per-view in Dallas. The younger guys have definitely taken the RVD perspective of thinking outside of the box, and they've taken it to a whole new level. I've knew that before I went back there, and you know, it's obvious that they all watch, not just me, but you know, I see my particular moves being done or them putting a twist on it, and some of the stuff they do is pretty amazing. Johnny Morrison, Nitro, Impact,
Mundo, Assorted,
yeah. So many flips with twists and back and forth. And at the end, I don't even know if this was the very end, but I saw, I think Johnny's laying down, and I think Swan did like a round off into, like, he jumped up and somehow he spun and flipped. He either did a 450 off of the mat or else he just spun so that he landed on his stomach instead of his back doing a 360. But either way, it was just amazing. And it's like, you know, like, I hope no one's thinking, yeah, RVD's back. Now we're going to see it taken to a whole new level. Because now I'm, I think I'm good passing that stuff on now. And by the way, when you put all that stuff up against the legend and you let the fans speak for themselves, RVD's on top every time.
So I have one more question for you, and then we're going to let you go. I'm always interested in this, just because the wrestling fan, obviously, we are, and we have a lot of listeners who are as well. The fan has sort of evolved or changed over time, because as you said, kayfabe's been sort of broken down to an extent, and now you have. We're in like the second or third generation of fans who are as interested in what's happening behind the scenes or what they think is happening as they are with what the in-ring product is. So they're second guessing and figuring out, what is creative doing? Why is this booked that way? And so I always like to ask, when I get to talk to people who do this for an actual living, is there something that you wish the fans knew that they don't know, or something that they misunderstand that you wish that they would understand?
You know, it's really weird being like one of the last ones to bridge the old school mentality, because fans know that it's a work. It's still sometimes offensive for them to talk to me openly about it. Mm-hmm. If they're just fans, if they talk like you know, like they're one of the boys, then I always it's almost offensive. So that's kind of like weird because it's changing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I guess the thing that, if I had to think of something that I wish the fans knew that they didn't, it would be that it really is competitive. The competition isn't exactly in the pinfall, but it starts with politicking, when the wrestlers, you know, are developing relationships with certain agents that'll be pushing for them, and you're fighting and jockeying for the same positions, the same spots. When you're out there in the match, I mean, you are wanting to outshine everybody. You know, you kidding? When I'm out there, I want all eyes on me. I want every fan, the promoters, the wrestlers. I want everybody watching me, thinking that I did outstandings. And so it's very competitive, and fans, once they hear that it's entertainment, they think that we're all just playing and it's like a game and it looks easy to them, I think. But like when Sabu and I, we'd wrestle in Japan before the match, Sabu would get with me because he was my mentor, and he would say, hey, don't let these guys get much on me. You know, if every time they cover, you know, come in and kick the guy off of me, let's keep him in our corner and let's try and do like really quick tags so that we can, we call it blowing him up, you know, get him winded. Mm-hmm. And this was real. I mean, they were doing the same thing over in their dressing room, you know, trying to get the advantage on us because they wanted to look better than us. So they were going to try and keep us in their corner and try and make quick tags to waste our energy and try and keep us away from being able to tag our opponent. And I don't think fans would understand that regardless of, you know, the pinfall, this stuff really goes on. So I guess that's how I would answer your question.
Fantastic. Rob Van Dam, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. It's been a blast and an honor. We are all huge fans of yours. The movie Headstrong, your documentary, is available now on Amazon Prime Video. Is that correct? And iTunes. Anywhere you would go get a movie digitally, you should be getting this one.
Yeah, Fight TV. It's not hard to find. And check it out. Write a review. If you like it, follow me at The Real RVD. It's been an awesome interview.
If you've got anything to say about RVD or the rest of the week in wrestling, visit us on our social media channels via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things, two things, eight things, who can say? But mainly three things we want to share about wrestling with you. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
They've got a podcast, Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Lindsay Kelk and I'm joined today by...
Julian Burrell.
And it's time to share the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count.
Watch my three count. One, two, three. Get out of there.
That was sick.
Three,
two, three.
Julian, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
First off, I am going to recommend doing a lot of musical recommendations lately that are barely wrestling related, but that's okay. There is an album called Not Sorry by a really great band called Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Very cool, like kind of all-female punk band. And I think it is well worth listening. It has on the front a female luchador who is wearing a little championship belt. And that is how I made this wrestling related.
Yay!
She's also got a cape on. It's go listen to all their albums. You can get them wherever you listen to music, I'm sure. And go support artists like them on Bandcamp so that they can see more of that money. The other thing that I would like to put over is we all know we are very, very close to All In. I have to make sure I get that right. All in at
all
Stadium.
Out. Up your bum. I mean, it's impossible to know.
Up your button
it's
around the corner.
It's impossible to know.
All In is happening at Wembley Stadium, I'm sure famously, and it will be wrestling's second big appointment over in England this year. And the funny thing, a man by the name of Tom Campbell was very funny on TikTok and on Twitter, saying what every London cab driver dropping off AEW fans at Wembley is going to sound like. So let's hear what they are going to sound like. For those of you that are going to be in London for the first time as a result of this show, I think you need to know what this is what you're in for.
I used to do a bit of wrestling myself. I used to have a go. I had Hulk Hogan in the back of the cab a few months ago, and he offered me a fight. So who runs the AEW then? Is that Vince McMahon as well? See, I'm old enough to remember when it was real fighting, you know, Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. See some of these guys do, you know, all these acrobatics. Giant Haystacks, woof, flattened them, brilliant. What about Ultimate Warrior? Is he wrestling tonight? Mate of mine says he knows the makeup artist that puts all the blood on. What about Macho Man Randy Rondy Piper? Is he wrestling tonight?
You know, I think that, like, lying is such an important skill when it comes to making small talk with people,
yeah.
Especially if you're a cab driver.
Truly. It's so perfect. I mean, firstly, if you are going, don't get a cab. Like, take the tube. You don't pay for a cab. It will cost you a fortune. Secondly, it really made me laugh because we took an Uber to WrestleMania at SoFi this year, and our Uber driver was merrily telling us about his wrestling career as an amateur wrestler and how that's real wrestling, you know, because what we were going to, it's not real. So it really did make me chuckle because it was literally the exact same thing, but without the charm of Cockney Sparrow. So that was a top recommendation. But yeah, get the tube, yeah. People.
I just imagine your guy like just taking a big hit on a jewel pen and just blowing it right out the window.
He was an older Armenian gentleman, but he had a lot of thoughts and feelings about both the wrestling career that he could have had if he had chosen to, and the wrestling that we ourselves were going to go and see. Yeah, we were real close to that. We got real close to that. But you know, good for him and the chances that he had as a youth and where he is today. He was also on his way to an Uber meeting with like every Uber driver in the whole history of the world, apparently. I'm like, well, that'll be a big place, won't it? Where he was going to explain to them what everything they're doing wrong and how they should fix it. And he was pretty sure they were going to offer him a corporate job. So
what a charmer.
If that gentleman is listening to this now in his office, in his skyscraper office.
He's got the top suite is what I understand now.
Top suite. Oh, fella. I feel like the last few weeks I've really struggled to think of something to put over. And then this week I had 1,000 things. I had literally 1,000 things, and most of them were hilarious videos on the WWE either .com or on the TikTok, the tickety talk. I also do just want to put over breaking news that apparently Lacey Evans is gone. I'd like to put over the fact that Lacey Evans is gone. Phew. I mean, oh, my goodness, Julian, it was remiss of me. Happy indictment week to you. What, again? Doesn't it feel like it comes
do we know
around?
That that's not why she left.
Right? Well, they still haven't named the other person in the DC indictment.
It could have just been as simple as she lost her smile and needed to step away with all this terrible news that
it
she's
could
been
be.
Hearing.
It could be. It feels like indictment week comes around sooner and sooner every year these days. But I will, what I'm actually going to put over, I came so close to putting over the Chelsea Green Champa chat for Chelsea's Got Talent video, which you should definitely check out. But what I'm actually going to put over is a video I sent to 1,000 people today and made Jeff watch like a lot of times, to the point where Jeff was like, can you stop it, because it's not making me feel good about myself, which is the Dominic Rhea video that's been running around everywhere, where Rhea is showing Dom how to do a cool little hand move and then accidentally slams him up against the wall in a friendly way. And Dominic's reaction is priceless. And the internet understandably just went into a meltdown over it. It's a fun video and a fun trick to try with someone you know and love and feel comfortable with, perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, more than just the video itself, everyone's reaction to it was absolutely magic, which is why I'm putting it over.
Yes.
And good for Rhea.
If you didn't think it was fun on its own, you probably are going to be entertained by all the people saying, like, oh, Buddy Murphy punching air at the moment.
Everyone melting down on behalf of Buddy Murphy. And my favorite comment, which routinely just comes up top in Twitter, is like, maybe they did fuck, which is just genuinely, because it's delivered even in a tweet in such a way that's like, huh, maybe they did. And I don't believe that they did. I think they are just two professionals having the times of their lives.
They have reached Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga levels of, like, they have
no,
they are
they
doing
like,
too much.
I think, allegedly, they did, Julian.
But even before everybody knew that they did,
yeah,
it was all that anybody wanted to talk about was, like, do you think?
I don't get a sexy vibe off Dom and Rhea, or even in this video where it's a little bit sexy. I get brother and sister who are just fucking with everybody vibe. Like, I really just think that they are so comfortable with each other, and I love it completely, and this video to me, and what I'm putting over is a celebration of Dominic and Rhea's close professional relationship and the joy that it gives to all of us.
Trust is important when you're doing that shit, so yeah.
Really is, because he's like getting his ass kicked by the ladies. Like, you gotta trust those ladies, and those ladies gotta trust you. So props to you, Dom. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were me, Lindsay Kelk, along with Julian Burrell. What a treat for us. What a treat for us. Anything you want to plug this week, Julian?
A treat. It's not like, you don't have to tell me if it wasn't. You had a choice when you downloaded. You could, if you were a Danielle Radford, Hal Lublin fan, you could have thrown that phone right out the window and I would not have known.
I would. I'd have seen it. I'd have known. I'd find out. I see everything.
But what can you do with me? What am I doing? You can go listen to episodes of Go Fact Yourself. I think the new one should be available on the day that you're hearing this. You can go listen to a new episode of The JV Club with Janet Varney. We are coming perilously close to the end of the Boys of Summer series, and then we'll be right back to talking to the ladies about the awkward years of high school and their childhoods and whatnot. And both shows are always a great time. It would mean the world to me if you would go listen to them. And I'm going to be that guy right now. I got something that I can't wait to talk about. Technically not announced yet, but it's going to be something very different from everything that I have ever done before. And I'm excited that eventually we will get to share it with the world.
That's exciting. Now, I don't know what that is. Now I'm very giddy. But unlike you listeners at home, I will be demanding Julian tells me right after this. So hit up those DMs and I'll clearly tell everyone. Now he's not going to tell me. What am I thinking? I have books. Please read my books. You can get them from your library. You can download them on your devices. Any devices. I get a lot of people saying like, oh, I don't have a Kindle, so I can't get that 99p book deal or whatever. But you can download a Kindle app on your phone for free, or on your computer, on your iPad, whatever, and you can get all of the amazing Kindle deals, and there are so many. It's so good. But Love Me Do is out now. It's out in the US and Canada on September 5th. And if you're in the US or Canada, you could actually, if you pre-order Love Me Do from The Ripped Bodice, she says, coming back in with that ASMR, The Ripped Bodice. It is an independent bookstore in LA and actually now in Brooklyn too. They just opened a second location. We love an inclusive independent bookstore, and if you can pre-order it from there, you can get it personalized and signed, and you get a free sticker, because I know my audience and we love stickers. Yeah. And they're shiny. It's a shiny sticker.
Put it right next to the Tights and Fights sticker. I mean,
exactly.
Why not, right?
Exactly. I have, actually. That's where it is on my water bottle. Nice. So, yeah, if you can get it from The Rip Bodice, you get it personalized, signed, and you get a shiny sticker. So how's that not magical? Yeah, Love Me Do. Love Me Do. It's a great title, and you should definitely read it.
For those of you that are like, I've never read a book on my phone with that Kindle app, what's that like? I will tell you this. One thing that's very nice about having your books on your phone, I like having one or two of them on there, because I am trying to rid myself of the worst of the social media networks right now. And I figure, you know what? It's just a natural instinct to just pull my phone and just flip through something. Instead of scrolling, I decide to read a few pages of a book every single time that I feel like going through whatever not Twitter is called right now. So it's kind of nice. I would highly recommend it. You'll feel better about yourself, and it's just overall, it feels like a better use of your time, doesn't it?
Also, just I always, even now in this crazy workaday world, I like to always have a book on me, and I always used to have a paperback on me. I always had a book. These days, I'm less likely to be carrying a bag that is, you know, welcome to a book. But if I've got my phone, I've got literally hundreds of them at my fingertips. And that makes me really happy, because it means I'm never more than two clicks away from a book. Our producer is pun of a kind, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we are putting him over for that forever and a day. Thank you to all the Max Fun members that keep this show going. Keep up with us all week long on our social media channels. Find them in the show notes. And find our Tights and Fights WrestleMania shirt at the maxfunstore.com. Maxfunstore.com. In a Yorkshire accent, I got that fun. I went in for that fun. MaxFunStore.com. Hey, MaxFunStore.com. I just can't even talk anymore. And celebrate Ice Cream Christmas all year long with us again at MaxFunStore.com. That's why they make newsreaders talk in RP, because no one can understand accents, including the person speaking them. What's more important than that? We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Here comes the pain. Bow to the masters. This is a podcast. They are podcasters. Max Fun's the network. Tyson Fights is the name.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artists-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.